Well, this is the parable of the rain cloud. And here clearly, the rain cloud is the Buddha pouring down the rain. And the rain is the Dharma, the teaching. And the plants are all living beings. The plants are what we may describe as the cosmic Sangha, all living beings. Now, there's a number of points to be just briefly noted here. First of all, the rain falls on all alike. The Buddha does not discriminate. The Buddha does not differentiate. We know that the historical Buddha didn't do this. He preached his Dharma, he taught his Dharma to all alike, to princes, to peasants, to men, to women, to merchants, to outcasts, to murderers, to robbers. He taught his Dharma to all without making any distinction, without discrimination. So the rain of the Dharma falls on all alike. And those who receive the rain of the Dharma, the plants, the living beings, in other words, ourselves, we grow. But we grow in accordance with our own individual natures. The rain falls on the palm tree. The palm tree grows into a palm tree. The rain falls on the flower. The flower grows into a flower. The flower doesn't become a palm tree. The palm tree doesn't become a flower. Each grows nourished by the same rain, but in accordance with his own nature. So in the same way, we all learn and practice the same Dharma, but we develop spiritually, each in his or her own way. Though at the same time, we all grow equally towards the same enlightenment, the same Buddhahood, the same Bodhi. Now for the growth of a plant, we may say, five things are needed. The plant, well, first of all, there needs to be a seed, then the soil, then there's warmth, there's light, and of course, finally, the rain. So similarly, if we are to grow, if we are to grow spiritually, we need five things. First of all, there needs to be a seed. There needs to be what we may call a potentiality for enlightenment. And according to traditional Buddhist teaching, all human beings do possess that. Even, we may say, all living beings possess that. They possess the potentiality for enlightenment. The seed is there. All can become enlightened if they make the effort and if conditions are propitious. So, the seed, that's the first thing. We all have that. And then, corresponding to the soil, there needs to be favorable circumstances. Favorable circumstances. Circumstances favorable to spiritual growth and spiritual development. It's not that we can't develop if circumstances are unfavorable, but it's very much more difficult. And especially we need leisure, we need health, we need facilities of various kinds. And in the West, I think, we're very, very fortunate that usually these facilities do lie ready to hand. Some of you, before this talk, saw the video of my last visit to India. And many of our Indian Buddhist friends do not enjoy the facilities that we enjoy. For them, it's not easy to follow the spiritual life for all sorts of reasons. I'll just give you a few examples that I know from my personal experience. I remember there was a young woman who became a Buddhist and who wanted to take up meditation. But she came from an ex-untouchable Buddhist family, and they all lived together in a hut which had only one room, and there were 18 members of the family. But she was determined to meditate. So she meditated every morning. She got up very early, and she meditated sitting up on a shelf on one side of this one room of the hut. And she kept up her meditation practice in that way. I don't suppose any of you have ever meditated or had to meditate in that particular way, sitting up on a shelf in a room, a small room occupied by 17 other people. But this is what she did. And then very recently, I heard the case of an old woman, an not a young one, an old one this time. This old woman wanted to go on one of our retreats. And the retreat was the last week. And in India, it costs usually 100 rupees for the week's retreat. 100 rupees is about... Oh, what's 100? It's about £2. So what's that in dollars? About $5. So that's what it costs for a week's retreat. But this old woman didn't have that $5, that 100 rupees. So what? She was 70 years of age, by the way. So what did she do? She worked for a month as a farm labourer, digging and carrying stones at the age of 70. She saved up 100 rupees and then she came on the week's retreat. So that's the sort of difficulty people have to face there if they want to practice the Dharma. We don't have those sort of difficulties anywhere, I think, in the West. Well, certainly not outside perhaps some of the Eastern European countries, or perhaps some parts of South America. We don't really usually encounter those sort of difficulties. We have it very easy and we don't always appreciate that. We have access to books, access to literature. We have free time. We have health. We have leisure. But we have to ask ourselves, do we really make the best use of those facilities? The soil is really there. But then, corresponding to the heat, the warmth that the seed needs, we need the warmth of spiritual friendship. And spiritual friendship is very important in Buddhism. And in the FWO we distinguish two kinds of spiritual friendship, what we call vertical, between the less and the more spiritually experienced, especially between pupil and teacher, and horizontal spiritual friendship, the spiritual friendship which springs up within the Sangha among those who are practically on the same level, is peer spiritual friendship. And we do really need both. We can't always be in personal contact with our teacher. Perhaps our teacher has many disciples and he doesn't have much time to spare for us, but he gives what we need. But we need more than that, in the sense of needing more, let us say, ordinary human spiritual friendship, and that we get from our peers. So we need both of these. We need that warmth, we need that friendship, that devotion in our spiritual lives. So warmth also is one that helps us in our spiritual growth, our spiritual development. Spiritual friendship is essential. And then, corresponding to the light that the seed needs, if it is to grow, we need intellectual clarity. We need clear thinking. And this is one of the things that does sometimes disturb me. I think not all Western Buddhists are notorious for clarity of thought. One can read all sorts of books written on Buddhism, on the Dharma, by people with less or more factual knowledge about Buddhism, but only too often one finds quite serious misunderstandings and misrepresentations, even about quite basic dharmic matters. So we need the light of intellectual clarity. We need also clear thinking.